ABC News.
Business appears to be supportive of the proposed reforms. Peter Strong is the CEO of the Council of Small Business of Australia, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
I understand this is something you've been saying for some time.
Well, for several years now, as my members have said, there's nothing out there to give them support, especially when they want to get involved in working with people that are disadvantaged or long-term unemployed or et cetera. It's just not really anybody out there they trust to work with them to make sure they can do it to the business's betterment and also to the assistance to the unemployed person. It's a system that fails because when they privatised the old Commonwealth Employment Service, and both the major parties supported that, they worked very hard on privatising that. Whatever they did, they got it wrong. So they contracted one group to look after the long-term unemployed, another group to look after people with a disability who were seeking work, another group to look after apprenticeships. The vocational education and training system remained separate from all them. So you ended up with these silos that don't talk to each other, and they failed community as a result of it.
Your quoted this morning is saying the people that win are the service providers, not the unemployed or the employers, and that we're creating millionaires on the back of the long-term unemployed by paying providers to offer a failed service. So what's wrong with the system as it stands? Why doesn't it work in practice?
Well, it's not giving long-term unemployed the jobs they need. It's not giving them the background support. It's not working with them, and sometimes you've got to be tough on people, but most of the time with unemployed people, they want to get a job. They have a problem. That's why they're long-term unemployed. They either lack a skill, they have some health issue that's worrying them, they've got a life problem, they've had life dealt them a bad card, or they've even dealt themselves bad cards. But you don't leave them laying in the gutter or treat them like rubbish. You actually work with them to get them back into the workforce. And in the past, where it's worked best is when the local community, including the business community and the trainers, have come together to say, OK, what skills do these people need and what skills can we give them, and what are the attitudinal problems, if there's any, and let's work together to resolve this. And there's plenty of examples of that happening. But it's not happening at the moment in most places because the employment services, whatever they are, function mainly for themselves, and they function to meet the needs of a contract, not to meet the needs of a community.
Indeed, if they get paid for every time a person applies for a job or get a commission, if you like. Statistics today say about, 400 people have started and left 10 or more jobs in that three-year window, so multiple commissions available there. Meanwhile, the Business Council suggests that employers are bearing the cost of sorting through all of those unsuitable applications. They say job search requirements of 20 applications a month can impose some pretty serious costs on employers. Applicants, as you say, are not necessarily suitable for any positions available. Why wasn't that effect on business factored into the system in the first place?
Because they didn't listen. That's why it wasn't factored in. It was quite bizarre. When they went out to contract, when they said, we'll give this to the private sector and to the welfare sector, they didn't listen to the people who explained to them why it wouldn't function, why it would cause problems. That's exactly the issue. Is, let me say, as always, the laissez-faire economists at the extreme end said, no, we've read the textbook, we know how it works, and they got it wrong. Now, it's interesting with big business, and good on them, they will listen to people and process their applications, etc., and it's a waste of their time, and they know it. With small business, and it used to happen to me, people would walk into my shop and they'd ask for a job, and I'd look at them, and they knew there was no job there, and I knew they knew that, but we both knew they were ticking a box to keep their money going. Now, most business people treat them with respect, but you think, nah, there's a better way than this.
Well, what is the better way then, and is this even possible given the existing contracts for these providers right now?
Well, there's the problem, is getting rid of the contracts and coming up with a better system. And we've always said we need a strategic approach at the local level. I've been told that in Geelong they do a very good job of this, that the Chamber of Commerce there has come together with the council, with training providers, and I'm going to go down there and have a talk to them one day. So there's an example of how to do it, if what I've been told is true. And we can extend that across the nation. Now, we've got, I remember back in the early 90s, we had, again, problems in Springvale and Dandenong with a particular ethnic group. And what happened is the community came together, the migrant resource centres came together, the employment services came together, the vocational sector came together with the business community, talked to these kids and said, you know, why do you feel disengaged? And then come up with solutions and resolve the issue. So we can do the same again when we've got problems of people feeling disengaged. but not under the current system.
Okay. Now, meanwhile, Small Business Ombudsman Kay Carnell's issued an urgent warning that small businesses could face a bit of a credit crisis as banks tighten lending rules as a result of the Royal Commission. Is money or credit drying up for small business?
It dried up about 6 or 7 months ago. People got, the banks got very spooked by the Royal Commission, and so we found the weighting they used to have for valuing your asset. So you could, if you had an asset worth $100,000, you could borrow $80,000 against that asset. That's dropped down to 30%, to $30,000 against that asset, because the banks have been spooked. So that really has dried up access to capital, and Kate Carnell's very right to confront that. There's not a lot we can do, really, until the final report comes out from the Royal Commission. But If it's a poor report, we'll certainly be out there saying this is not a good thing for the economy. As a matter of fact, a lot of the issues raised by the Royal Commission, we recognised a good year and a half to 2 years ago, and COSBO and its members worked very closely with the banking sector to resolve a lot of them that long ago. And certainly Kay Carnell has been a wonderful leader in that area, making sure it works. But it can all be undone if the Royal Commission comes out and recommends processes that don't work for small business. I've got to give credit also to the government with their business growth fund and their securitisation announcements before Christmas. They are a good response to the problem. But again, none of us can do anything now until the Commission's report comes out.
We'll see what it does recommend. Peter Strong will stay in touch. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
CEO of the Council of Small Business of Australia, Peter Strong.
ABC News.